The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
You're going to enjoy our guest. I'm telling you very, very much. But I want to say thank you to all of our military representatives on Memorial Weekend. Thank you for the love that you literally extended to all of us for the sake of freedom. God bless you. Thanks to you and your family and those who gave their lives that we might have life and have freedom. God bless you this weekend. Thank all of you. Thank you. I'm James Robertson. Betty and I welcome you to life today. Robertson is our guest, Phil Robertson. That's not my, I'm not Robertson. I've been called Robertson, Robinson, Robinson, Robertson. It's Robertson. We're no relation. This is Robertson, okay? But we're actually family. We're actually brothers. We actually have a wonderful father. And our families have been touched by the love of that father, and it's been transformative in our lives and everybody we've been able to talk to. Well, Phil is here, the Duck Dynasty family, one who really was in a mess and yet got it straight, and he impacted everybody around him in the family. Now he's impacting people all over the world, and the first time I saw them, they were family. And they were just down and real, and it just blessed me. And I am thrilled. We've had most of the family here. Now we got the guy that inspired a lot of what's going on, and he would admit he made a few mistakes along the road that we're glad that the Lord covered. But God lifted him up and really set their feet on a solid rock. And this book, The Theft of America's Soul, blowing the lid off the lies that are destroying our country. The father of lies, who is the great deceiver and divider and destroyer, the murderer. That is the one that's manipulating too much in our country. This man understands that, and he knows the truth that changes everything. Would you welcome Phil Robertson to life today? You know, this picture looks like you are either praying or meditating, because I know you're not duck hunting. You can't duck hunt like that. You got to look here. But, I mean, that's a very reflective look that doesn't look unnatural. It looks supernatural to me. I know you. I know you pray. What do you hope that America will take from this book and what God's put on your heart?
Well, how difficult could it be if it were not for the evil one? How difficult could it be to love God and love each other? You would think, well, that's doable. But you look at us and you say, maybe not. It's enter the evil one. Father of lies, Jesus said, father of murder. I mean, he masquerades as a child of light. He controls human beings. He literally entraps them, enslaves them, you know, enters them. If you look at it logically, you say, what in the world happened to America? The same thing that happened to all the other empires. The empires rise, they go down. You read the New Testament, it's written to the Roman Empire. You say, by the way, what happened to them? It's nothing but a pile of rubble. You say, what? The greatest power on earth. You're like, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder. If you just looked at the murder rate on what America, how they kill their own children at the rate they kill them, mass shootings on the streets.
The unborn children, totally innocent.
I'm thinking, a gift from God, that's your sons, your daughters.
Right. Yeah.
Therefore, when Satan enters the equation, I mean, think about it. Father of murder. This is a message we've heard from the beginning, John the Apostle said. He goes back 5,000 years. This is a message we've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain. He brought him up like he was there yesterday. He went back 5,000 years when there weren't but four human beings on planet Earth. Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel, you say, four people and they can't get along. And you say, so much so, don't be like Cain, but listen to this, who belonged to the evil one.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. And murdered his brother. Mm-hmm. You notice, and when you read the account over in Genesis where it happened, he said, why is your face downcast? Why are you angry? So his face is downcast. His ties were bad, and his brothers were good. So he had jealousy in his heart. He's mad. God said, sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you. 5,000 years later, John the Apostle is writing about it. He said, don't be like Cain, who murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? He murdered him because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. What's amazing is that's a long time before gunpowder was invented. Gunpowder came along in 1200 AD. You're like, my goodness, 6,000 years earlier, it didn't even record on the first murder I know of that there ever was, the first recorded murder in history, I guess. Mm. You say, isn't it amazing that it never said how Cain killed Abel? Not a word. You know why? That wasn't the issue. The issue was he belonged to the evil one. You say, well, what was their motive, the Las Vegas shooter? His motive was the evil one.
That's right.
That is the motive for the murder you see on the streets, because it's just nonsensical. Mm-hmm. I mean, to kill unborn children and slaughter people at a concert, there's evil there.
Yeah. Well, and the theft of our soul has come at the hands of the deceiver, and we are assassinating people with words continually. Oh, yeah. Even when you were doing the Duck Dynasty series and you all prayed or you all had conversations, the producers decided they would just bleep some of your words to make it look like you all were using profanity.
That's right.
Now, just how did you handle that when they were making you look like you were not what you say you are?
I didn't watch most of the shows, but someone said, you know, they're putting in bleeps as if y'all are using profanity. And I said, do what? They said that they have bleeps, like y'all are cursing, and they're bleeping it out. I thought, ha! So I sat down with the production crew. I said, what kind of mind? I said, now, I don't want to be unkind here, but some of you are from New York City, and the rest of you are from Los Angeles, California. I said, what kind of mind dreams up a scheme whereby they make it look like some individuals are using profanity when they're not? I said, what kind of mind does that? They said, well, here's what they said. We just thought the show would flow better.
Oh.
If the audience thought you were cursing.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, don't ever do that again. I said, or I'm out of here, and probably being the patriarch of the Robertson clan, we're probably all out of here. Well, yeah, they're making pretty good money by now, see? So they said, oh, well, we'll take care of it. But can you believe someone would do that? I was telling James earlier, they also, I noticed, and if you, any of y'all ever watched the show, they started taking my prayer. I would thank God for the food we're about to eat, and I would pray in the name of Jesus, amen. Mm-hmm. Well, someone told me, they said, they're cutting that out when by the time they run it. I said, cutting what out? They said, cutting the name of Jesus out. Mm. I thought, cutting the name of Jesus out of a prayer? I said, this bunch? Well, I sit down with them again, and I tell them, put his name back in there. I said, we told y'all when you started filming us, is this in? And you said, whatever y'all do, that's what we're going to film. So look, a few weeks goes by, and it's time for the prayer at the supper scene, you know. So I bow my head, and I said, Lord, give these people that are filming us, give them time to repent before you burn the whole bunch in the fires of hell. And I said, I'm asking you this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Okay, I want to ask you something. My wife.
You ought to have seen the looks when I looked up and the cameraman were like, they said, Mr. Robinson, would you pray again, but maybe tone it down just a little?
All right, I want to get to this ninth chapter because you said I want to talk about this. This you have 10 lies that the enemy is literally leading us away from truth and losing basically the freedom God gave us.
You
because
betcha.
It's for freedom Christ made us free. All real freedom is birthed in Him and carried on the foundation of His truth. Okay, the lie, church participation in day-by-day life should be kept separate. The separation of church and state is to mean separate the church from having impact on the state or anything on God's planet Earth.
Yep.
Just step back. In other words, crawl in a hole, get in a foxhole, get in a monastery, stay in your closet, and don't ever affect anything like salt and light and actually make a difference, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Here's what everyone needs to understand. I did it in as nice a way as I could. I said, come on, church, come on now. What I was trying to get people to see, look, we're not going anywhere. You say, well, I'm going to church. I said, I've never read that phrase in the Bible, going to church. The reason why you don't read it is the people of God, the body of Christ, they are the church.
That's right.
So the best you can hope to say is, I'm going to meet for a couple hours with the brothers up here on the side of the road, and when I walk out of there, I'm not going to forget that where I'm going to work in the morning is a bunch of heathens down there, and I have to point them to Jesus. Yeah. I have to be careful what I say. I have to reflect the Lord in everything I do. There's 168 hours in a week, and if all you do is have worship services on 2 hours, that leaves you 166 hours. What are you doing during that period of time? So when you're shopping, when you're working, when you're playing, you say, I have to be aware of who I am. It could be little things, words of encouragement to someone,
right.
You know, in a supermarket. Everyone working together. You might think little bitty gifts are not worth anything. They're worth a lot if a lot of people are doing them. So the point is, read Romans 12. It's the chapter on worship. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. You say, well, Phil, I may get cussed out from time to time. Well, yeah. Look what they did to the Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Yes, much worse.
Look what they did to Him. You say, everyone who lives a godly life in Christ Jesus, James, will be persecuted.
That's right.
There's no way around it. Mm-hmm. We just need to accept it. I personally wear it as a badge of honor, and I don't hold it against the people who are doing the hollering. I just forgive them and go on down the road.
Do you believe that we can keep the beasts of the field from taking over the flock? Do we believe we can keep the briars and thistles and the weeds from taking over the cultivated fields? If we can do that and protect it, could we not protect our academic institutions, education? Could we not protect the arts and entertainment? Could we not protect what happens in leadership in our country from the deceiver? And isn't this what we were left to do, to make a kingdom impact and an imprint of Almighty God, the King, on planet Earth, so that the whole earth becomes fruitful and declares the glory of the Lord? Isn't that what the church is supposed to do?
That's what we're supposed to be.
This is what this book's about. You deal with the adverse effects of the lie, but you deal with the profound effect of making a kingdom impact, which is what you're saying by being the church all the time.
And by the way, y'all will notice in that book that I put the blame where it belongs, on the evil one. I mean, you have to bow down to him before you start doing what he tells you to do. You say, you have to listen to the lies. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus. Do not veer to the left nor the right. Take the scriptures, use them, train yourself by constant use of the scriptures, uploading them. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you say, and you'll get to where you're mature, because you've trained yourself to do something real hard. You can distinguish good from evil. You say, how long is it going to take for me to be sound in the faith? You say, when you learn to know the difference between good and evil.
Yeah, like
you, you shun evil and you embrace good. How hard could it be, Jack?
It's not too hard. But if you believe a liar, it's tough. Do you appreciate this guy and the whole Robertson family, Duck Dynasty? Let me just say this. I mean, I would be happy for Phil to stay here a whole week. It'd be like a whole new series of Duck Dynasty dynamic impacting. But you happy? You all want to come back and bring some of the other family?
We'll bring just take the whole off.
Bunch. Yeah, just bring the bunch. Here's the deal.
Y'all gonna have to feed them.
Here's the deal. Listen to me. This book is in the bookstores. I hope you'll pray about getting one and getting one for a friend. Phil, we're gonna try to feed thousands of kids, because the viewers of this program have told us that they don't want to overlook the overlooked, and they want to love the least of these, and they've been doing it for years, and you've saved millions of lives. Well, we'll send you this book. We've got a wonderful Bible to send you, the Passion Translation that'll inspire you. We've got the James Code written by one of our good friends, O.S. Hawkins. For anybody that'll just say, I'm going to help you rescue and take care of those precious children of their families. But if you want Phil's book, it is like dynamite. I think it's like spiritual dynamite. And we'll send it to you. If you just do this, we're asking you to do this. We're asking you to reach out and touch someone with the love of God and become the answer to prayer for them and the miracle they desperately need. Wouldn't you like to be someone's miracle? Wouldn't you like to be an answer to someone's prayer? Isaiah said, if you meet the needs of others, God answers you quickly. It's amazing how quickly he gets involved in the lives of those who are involved in doing his will and touching those who are overlooked. Would you watch closely, please? Very closely. And then let God lead you in what you do. You can be the miracle.
Pon sana ai pon daena ni pon da ubona murina ubona uti ki lolele nga pare ya la kiru pon ni pon da ija tu continue kala dunga ko loling.
Fueled by tribal warfare, a wave of violence continues to spread throughout South Sudan, destroying communities in its path. Like Susan, so many mothers are forced to flee their homes for the safety of their children. There is no warning, so they must leave quickly. Unable to bring anything but the clothing on their backs. Susan and her children survived the journey. But many South Sudanese families aren't so fortunate. Thousands die trying to reach safety. And those who do make it arrive on the brink of starvation.
You've seen the situation we face here. Innocent lives fleeing, seeking refuge. Many mothers and children have traveled weeks without food, not knowing where their next meal will come from, if they'll even have another meal. The situation is critical. Please do what you can to help Mission Feeding to bring hope and life to people in need.
That's our grandson, Luke, that's making that appeal. He's been to the mission field now several times. And we just celebrated the one-year-old birthday of his little girl. He and his wife, Cassie, are just a beautiful couple, love Jesus, great witnesses. And Luke came back with such a burden that they actually started talking about wishing they could actually adopt some of those orphan children. I mean, they've just got a little baby girl, and they're talking about taking someone to their home. Because he said, Papa, the need is just so great. It's desperate. And he said, it's become so bad now that we actually had the United Nations, UNICEF, and USAID representatives come to us and say, we see the compassion and the courage of the relief workers and mission workers. We will actually give you a large amount of food to meet this additional desperate situation in South Sudan if you'll just take it in. And Luke said, we prayed with them. He said, Papa, we looked up at all these people from these other nations, and they were standing there crying because they said they saw the love of God. Well, see, Betty, it's the love of God and our viewers that made all the mission feeding, where we're feeding 400,000 right now. And now then we hear about this other additional crisis that we were told, because when we came back and asked, well, what would it take to deliver the food, they'll just let us deliver, and the cost was 270,000. I said, God, please, can you raise up people not only to feed the 400,000 in our mission feeding programs, but to have this additional challenge? Because it's like a miracle. We don't have to produce that food. It's there. All we got to do is deliver it. And they put the pencil to what it would cost for the additional work and the transportation, and it's 270,000. So, Betty, we need to feed the 400,000 for the next months and that addition. And I'm just believing God's going to raise up people who will do it. And I know it's in your heart, and you are absolutely, in my opinion, one of the greatest people to tell our viewers why what they do is so important.
You know, I watched that with our grandson right there on the mission field. And as he talked about that mother talked about her children asking, Mom, where's the food? We're hungry. I can't even imagine one of my children, grandchildren, great children coming to me and me not having something there if they were hungry and offering them plenty of food. Well, these children are starving. Please join with us. If your heart's been touched, as mine has, as James has, and many others, as before, I know you've helped us. Please do it again. These children will not live without the food that they need.
Well, we can be the miracle. We can be the answer to a heart cry and a prayer. Now think about what I'm saying, because this sounds like a miracle, but it's absolutely the truth. It's not exaggeration. For $30, $50, or $100, we can feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next several months. That's not total child care. That's not housing. That's food. That's emergency life-saving relief. Could you help 3, 5, or 10? Is there any way that you could help us with that $270,000 miracle challenge because of what it'll do? Could you be one of 270 and say, I'll give $1,000? It may be you can do more. If you can, I pray you will. Father, I pray that every single person watching right now would just ask you to guide them. And you give them the joy of becoming a miracle in Jesus' name. Would you go online right there, the website you see, or dial that phone number? It's always a prayer line. Right now, it's a lifeline. And when you take your bank card, go get it. Use it like a check or write a check. Make the check to life. Please, right now, make the gift God put on your heart. Let us know what it is so we can tell the relief workers, the mission workers, help is on the way because of the love of God. Please do it right now. And I thank you so much.
In impoverished and drought-stricken areas of Africa, children are suffering. The need is great, and without food, they face severe malnutrition, even death.
With previous reserves gone and mission feeding helping in areas of great famine, we urgently need your support to replenish food supplies to reach the 400,000 children who are counting on us. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. Please consider an extra gift to help ease the suffering of innocent families who, due to tribal warfare, have had to flee their homes in South Sudan to neighboring Uganda in desperate search of food. World Food representatives have asked for our immediate assistance. That's why an additional $270,000 is urgently needed to help provide food to those who are starving. With your gift, we'll send you the James Code by O.S. Hawkins. You'll also enjoy this beautifully crafted leather bookmark. With your gift of $100 or more, request the Passion Translation Bible. This edition ignites the passion of the Bible to modern readers by merging the passion of God's heart with the life-changing truth of His Word. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, Safe in the Shepherd's Arms. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Well, Betty, and I just thank God for your willingness to help. By the way, if you ever try to call to help and the line's busy, just say, thank you, Lord, but be determined and call until you get through, okay? And we've got the gifts we mentioned that you just saw. If you'd like to have Phil's book, The Theft of America's Soul, what this book is really about is stopping the liar in his tracks and becoming the salt and light that changes everything into a fruitful field. And I'm telling you, you're going to enjoy this very, very much. You help us help those children, those in need. You say, would you send me Phil's book? We'll be glad to. Would you join Betty and me in thanking Phil Robertson and the Robertson family for being a blessing? Phil, we love you, buddy.
Hey, all right. I love you.
Appreciate you very, very much.
Y'all keep up the good work.
We'll do it. We'll do it. Thank all of you. Thank you for watching. Thank you for supporting Life Today.
And I know I need to quit because I'm pregnant.
Jenny Weaver was born addicted to heroin, but when her life fell apart, she heard the sound of freedom. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.